Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Every day is like a blank page. Some people encounter the page with fear and dread. Others encounter it with potential and excitement. Hello, my name is Aubrey Baptista. At Kindred Art Therapy, you will learn to be inspired daily rather than approaching each day with fear. For more information, visit arttherapync.com to book a free 15-minute consultation.
My name is Alin Davis. I'm a counselor and coach with a compassionate heart and a wealth of experience. My mission is to help people journey towards recovery, self-discovery, and holistic well-being. As a licensed therapist in North Carolina, I've had the privilege of witnessing countless individuals break free from the grips of eating disorders, trauma, anxiety, depression, and find renewed purpose in their lives. For more information, visit alindavis.com or click the buy button on this ad. I look forward to seeing you break free.
Welcome to Kindred Conversations, the show where we shine a light on local mental health professionals who are the unsung heroes of our community. Join us as we delve into their journeys, strategies, and the art of healing minds. Together, we'll break down stigmas and celebrate resilience. Today, we have just an exclusive talk with me and my show producer, Aaron Matan. And today, we're just going to be talking about our central nervous system and how we can map it and why it's important for us to be able to do that in order to be able to live a healthy, vital, and joyful and creative life. Ready for that talk, Aaron?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. I don't know how credentialed I am, but... I'm a good sounding board.
Yeah, no. And you know what? This is going to be really relevant to you because one, you're a human being, you have a toddler, you have a wife. So, you know, I'm sure that you find yourself oftentimes pretty stressed out.
I am not averse to the feeling. And that's my daughter Penelope making a little appearance on the show as well.
Yeah. So it's an important topic to talk about because our central nervous system controls literally everything, right? It's something that in more recent research has been paid more attention to in the field of psychology, where, you know, a lot of older psychology had a lot to do with like cognitive science and the way that we think about things, which is not necessarily a bad thing because that does create a lot of our stress. But now is also moving more into like the physical realm and like the nervous system and how our body and our mind connect and how we can work on managing our bodies in order to be able to reduce our stress levels and to be able to just live a more healthy and happy life.
Yeah. And I'm interested to learn more. I mean, there's a lot of that that's applicable, not just, you know, not just raising kids and having a family and everything, but you have a lot of, outside influences that, kind of blend together as much as you try to compartmentalize and try to separate, you know, home life is home life, work life is work life, try not to take it home. It's, especially in the entrepreneurial realm, it's, that's not reality. your phone still buzzes during dinner and it's something, a solution to a problem you've been dealing with all day. You know, it's hard to take off of your mind. So I'm curious to hear what you guys say about this.
Sure. So before I kind of start talking about this idea of like regulating the central nervous system, right? First, by kind of addressing the idea that mindfulness is so important. And I know I've talked about this in previous episodes as well about how important mindfulness is, but it really is so key because of the importance of bringing attention and awareness to the present moment. Thich Nhat Hanh talks about how like the power of now, right? That like if we are in the future, if we're in the past, that is going to create a lot of our suffering. So if we can be in the present moment and fully experiencing what's here and now, that can actually help reduce our stress levels significantly. But what I want to talk about today specifically is around like this idea of how to map our central nervous system so that we can be in what I like to call is like the green zone. So, and I've started teaching it to people in the way of like a traffic light, right? And we regulate traffic because it's so important to be able to have productivity, to have connectivity, to be able to just have like a well-functioning society that works well together. And so regulation is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, like it is what leads to being able to have a more productive and happy life. So the idea being is that, you know, through mindfulness, we can regulate our central nervous system by using this visualization of understanding, okay, are we in the green zone? Are we in the yellow zone? Or are we in a red zone? Right? So I'll define what each one of those are. The idea with the green zone is that this is a more calm, creative, collected, and connected type of state where we feel like we are productive, that we have ideas that are generating and flowing, we're taking action, like we feel good on a day-to-day, we're connecting with people, we're making eye contact, we're happy. This is a state that is ideal, that everybody would love to be in. But the reality is that, you know, our nervous systems are not built to be robots. We can't be happy all the time. We can't be creative all the time, but we can try our best to maximize that. We'll talk more about that later. The yellow zone is about like an action state. It's like a fight, flight. It's that stress response. And so there's people that, oh, okay, well, I just am always yellow, productive all the time because like I'm always feeling like I'm being driven and that I have to get things done and I'm worried about whether or not something is going to get done. But what they might also identify in that state is that they have a hard time being able to solve problems, and that when something drops on a hat that like they weren't expecting, then they're getting really upset about that thing. There's lots of other things that come with being in the yellow zone, right? Being frustrated and agitated, et cetera, et cetera. What can happen if we're overloaded either over a long period of time or a lot all at once is that we can end up shutting down. And that's what that red zone is like depression or completely just like blanking out, not really being able to think of what comes next, not really being able to think about our problem solve anything really. Like that's where that red zone comes in. And a lot of people who are struggling with depression are like, okay, well, how do I get out of this, right? Like, it's just so, everything's so hard. It's really uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, actually, in order for you to move out of that red zone, you're going to have to move into the yellow zone, because that's just part of how our central nervous system works, is that you have to, like, from green, you go through yellow into red, and then vice versa, like from red to yellow to green. So that's just like kind of the intro talk to that. The other thing that's important to know is that our central nervous systems actually mirror one another. So like if you're in a room with your daughter and your daughter is having a meltdown and a temper tantrum, it's going to be kind of hard for you to stay regulated in that moment, right?
Yeah, preaching to the choir as we speak.
Yeah, you're like trying to like breathe. You're like, stay calm, stay calm.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, especially for, you know, people that work from home or you know, have to or take care of a child while staying focused. I think one of the biggest inhibitors is not so much the noise level is up, you know, there's just a lot going on, and for some people that is overwhelming as well, but it's finding ways to stay engaged and in what's in front of you. Like this perfect example you heard kind of earlier in the show, my daughter is kind of yelling and, you know, I'm passing her my phone and trying to give her snacks while staying engaged in the conversation. And you know, it's I think what you're talking about is pretty spot on, because there are some tools you can try to use to navigate those situations. But at the end of the day, you know, in this particular instance, we're recording a show and mics are on and there's, you can't have yelling. So once you hit that yellow stage where you know, it's interesting to hear you differentiate between, like, oh yeah, that's just a perpetual state of being for me, because yeah, the on the front end of that description, it's like, yep, that's pretty much how I exist. But that also results in lack of productivity, or kind of that feeling of not being able to get a grip on whatever you need to accomplish. You know, in it, just kind of reacting off of what you're talking about, it, I would imagine that some of the tools that could be applied would help you navigate inside of each one of those zones. But, you know, I guess my question is, what's the best pathway to go ahead and shift zones, like shift from red to yellow, or, you know, hopefully yellow to green?
Yeah, for sure. And that's a really important question. And that's something that I talk about with all of my clients in individual therapy, is kind of mapping out what their nervous system is, what it looks like for them to be in each one of these zones, the green zone, the yellow zone, the red zone. And for each person, it's going to be individual for them about the things that are able to help them move from one place to the other. Now, there are some universal things that will move people from one place to the next. And that's why I like to really emphasize mindfulness, because, like, that's one of the top ones that I emphasize. The next one after that is movement. Any kind of physical movement can help move you into that place. The next one after that is creative engagement, right? So if that means that you like to play guitar, if that means that you like to draw, if that means that you like to, like sculpt thing, like, it doesn't matter what the creative engagement is, right? It's about, like, doing things that engage your mind creatively so that you can think in ways that are beyond where your current thinking is. But first and foremost, I would say definitely, like, mindfulness and movement are going to move people into the green zone. And those are so important, right? Because, like, if you are in a red zone where you're shut down and you're depressed, you're not going to want to move. It's not going to feel very good to move. It's going to be really uncomfortable. You're probably going to think about it a lot, because it's like, oh, I know I need to do it, but I don't really want to do it. And that's what that yellow zone is, right? It's that anxiety. It's that kind of, like, revving up, right? But the action phase of that, of actually being able to, like, do something, on the other side of doing something is, oh, I did something. And then you get to feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were just talking about, before the show, we were talking about, working out and, opportunity for decompression. And both of us agreed how important that is. And, you know, for me, one of the things that I do is, you know, I'm a little quicker flipping the switch, or changing hats when I come home, or, than my wife is. So, you know, usually the decompression time for me is, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of just getting changed, or, you know, having some type of ceremony when I get home, that allows me to flip that switch. However, if I don't, I work out in the morning, usually, like, around, like, 7:30, 8 o'clock or so. And if I don't do that, then, I find that a lot of the other challenges that I, encounter for the day are harder to navigate, because, and that's kind of what puts me, I find that I can stay on the upper green to lower yellow, area if I can get that workout in, because I'm starting the day with the accomplishment. And you know, same applies to little things, whether it's, you know, say there are people that can't afford a gym membership, or people that don't have time or whatnot. You can do those things on a on a micro level as well. When you get up out of bed, make your bed, start your day with an accomplishment. And as at least for me, that really helps. And
that's a military teaching, right? That's mm-hmm. something that you learned in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it's all about is instilling the discipline. And I have an idea more so applied to the gym, but, I think that, 9 times out of 10, you know, some of the things you need to do to achieve, mental health readiness and, a productive and happy life kind of, boils down to the disciplines you have in your life. And, you know, you hear a lot like, oh, I just don't have the motivation to do this, that, and that's a very real thing. I mean, everybody on earth will wake up and just not want to do stuff.
Important part of that though, right, is that the motivation doesn't come first.
Exactly. The discipline is getting to the gym, and I'm just relating it to the gym. This applies to all kinds of things, but you know, the discipline is getting to the gym. If you go to the gym, you're going to do something at the gym. The motivation is when you're there, is finding motivation to get through that set or add another set, or maybe a certain playlist gives you motivation, finding little ways, using motivation as a bonus, like, ooh, I have this extra burst of energy, or this, I'm really feeling it right now. Motivation is a good tool, but it's not it can't be, at least in my experience, it can't be the default. You can't make your life decisions, and relating it to this subject, I don't think if you're reliant on motivation, I don't think it would be very achievable to cross from, you know, red to yellow to green. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, the one thing that I would challenge you on is the idea of like wanting it bad enough, right? Like, what mm-hmm. is it that the person is wanting on the other side of what they're trying to achieve, right? So say that they're extremely depressed, right? And it's going to be very difficult to think if they've been chronically depressed for a long time and they don't believe in what their capabilities are, and they have a lot of self-doubt about like the journey and the obstacles that could come along the way, then it's going to be really hard to be able to imagine like that they could one day say like run a marathon, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, that's going to be a really difficult motivator for them because they don't even believe that it's realistic, right?
Yeah.
So you have to start with something that is like believable to the individual. But if you can help them to conjure an image in their mind of something that they believe is possible for themselves, maybe even, you know, like a week down the road, right? Mm-hmm. Or a month down the road, or 6 months down the road, whatever the period of time is that individual can muster that energy to really create an image of what that is. That's where that motivation is going to come from, is mm-hmm. like, I want this for myself. And so I'm going to take these action steps to be able to get to that. So yeah, the motivation is important. It's helpful, but it's not everything, right? Because you also mm-hmm. do need to make sure that you're taking those action steps. And
yeah,
I wanted to comment too on something else that you brought up, and you had mentioned your wife coming home and it taking her a different period of time to decompress or shift states than for you. And that was an important point, because different people, it takes them different amounts of time and to move between states. And that has a lot to do with their upbringing and their past experiences. And it can also have a lot to do with different traumas. And something that, you know, trauma is such a buzzword that people kind of throw around. And I think that it can be something that is almost like, if it's not like you had like a really severe and traumatic experience, then it doesn't count and it's invalid, right? But like, I think about traumas almost as like ranging from gaping, bleeding whole wounds to like a minor bruise. You know, it's like mm-hmm. no matter which way you cut it, like they're all traumas, but one is just like a more minor trauma, one is like a more major trauma. And so the ones that are like lesser are maybe those ones that are like, okay, well, I keep slipping into a yellow zone when this happens, right? Maybe this is what the quote unquote like trigger is for that trauma. Doesn't necessarily mean that it was a severe trauma that they experienced, or maybe it was an ongoing trauma that they experienced. But the fact is that now their nervous system has that encoded. And so their job is to work through that so that they can come out on the other side, knowing how to move themselves back into the green zone. So,
yeah, children are a phenomenal representation of that, you know, the, as to where adults, you know, say you had somewhat of a stressful day at work, but that's pretty usual. So it's not outside the ordinary that you're in the yellow zone. You know, you're very much living in that yellow zone. And then you look at your kid that, you know, you can't get away from the microphones and they want peanut butter. You know, she is very much living in the yellow zone. And so that level of psychological trauma of like, I want this thing and I'm not getting it, and my dad's ignoring me to do this other thing. It's that kind of displays that it's, you know, it's not on a tiered scale of my trauma is worse than yours. It's living in that zone is living in that zone, and that experience is unique to everybody, but has very similar and somewhat predictable effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that's an important point too, is that like you model for others, especially children, right? Children are so impressionable, but like really just anybody, like if you're a leader for the station and you showed up to a station meeting and you were like talking really, really fast and just having a hard time connecting with the people that you were talking to and not really like slowed down and engaged and connected, like people are going to pick up on your energy. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's going to be very difficult for them to feel safe being able to share the things that they want to share. And they're going to be like working extra hard to try to stay calm. And it's just going to make for, frankly, kind of like a hostile work environment. Mm-hmm. So,
And I have a funny story on this. Well, it's not that funny, but it's very applicable, but we're kind of out of time. Definitely would like to, you know, share some of the stories, but yeah, I mean, thank you for bringing me on and talking about this.
Sure. And if people like this episode, then be sure to check in with bizradio.us to find out more about this show, Kindred Conversations, with the show host. I'm Aubrey Baptista, and you can find more about my company, Kindred Art Therapy, on arttherapync.com. Thanks for listening in.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.